You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on?
Thank you so much.
Like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you
up? Let me check out that ring.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock with my guy, as always, Mojo Mutati. Mojo, we're going to start with Bronny James. We've got some massive news. Bronny James, LeBron's son, who just completed his freshman season at USC, where he averaged 4.8 points a game and just under 3 rebounds, has declared for the NBA draft, Mojo. Like I said, shocking news. So 19-year-old Bronny James earlier today on Friday made the announcement that he is throwing his hat in the proverbial ring, and yes, will be in the NBA draft. Now, Mojo, here's the thing. This could change, and I am telling you, barring something absolutely shocking, when it comes time to call those names, you know, when the NBA draft finally does roll around, Bronny James will not be in the draft at that point. The reality is that this is something that players can do. It's a way to go through the process, to hear from scouts, hey, Bronny, you need to improve on A, B, and C. We think you do, you know, D great. That happens. Players do it, Mojo. Nonetheless, it's a fact that Bronny has declared for the NBA draft. He has also put his name in the transfer portal, meaning that he is all but gone from USC. I'll give you some of his statement here, Mojo. This is when he made the announcement earlier today. I've had a year with some ups and downs, but all added to growth for me as a man, student, and athlete. I've made the decision to enter the NBA draft while maintaining my college eligibility and will also be entering the NCAA portal. Thank you to USC for an amazing freshman year. And as always, I'm thankful for my family, friends, doctors, athletic trainers, and fans for their support. Clearly, he mentioned the athletic trainers, Mojo, because remember, and we've talked about this a bunch on the show, those trainers, those medical people, saved Bronny's life when he had that cardiac arrest during the summer. So, with all that said, he's in the NBA draft. He's going to play college basketball somewhere else unless something crazy, Mojo, happens and someone tells him, hey, we're going to take you in the first round of the NBA draft. 4.8 a game. I don't think that's happened. I don't care what his last name is.
Bronny is entering the portal of I will literally go anywhere but USC. I don't care if it's college ball, if it's pro ball, if I have to go back and play rec league ball, I'll play anywhere but USC this coming season. Declaring for the draft, it's an interesting thing because there used to be a time where if you declared for the draft and you got representation, that was it. There was no coming back after that. That's when I played college ball. That's what the situation right. was. So given the fact that you can declare and still play college ball, I really don't see any negative to just declaring every single year. I wouldn't understand any negative there because if you're going to get all this constructive criticism, you're going to get the top agents and analysts to really break down every aspect of your game. I mean, that sounds like a positive thing for me. I mean, that's something I would have been interested in every single year. Obviously, his production on the court this year isn't enough to get into the NBA on your own, right? Especially given his age and, you know, potentially some glaring medical concerns. I mean, obviously, we covered that extensively when that medical situation happened. And, you know, no one is worried about that necessarily repeating itself in the future. But, you know, that it still could be something that could dissuade scouts. But the thing I keep coming back to, Babcock, is could LeBron get this done on his own. I mean, if he tied Bronny's contract to his own and said that the James family is a package deal, it might not matter if Bronny's the worst basketball player in the country, right? If a team would just give him a roster spot in order to get LeBron. If they went that far with it, I mean, I could see this personally working out.
We did talk to somebody who had a tremendous career in both facets as a player and a coach. Yeah, you're looking at that guy right there, Byron Scott. Byron Scott was Showtime Lakers, was a three-time NBA champion in Los Angeles, Mojo. Then went on, after his 14-year NBA career, then went on to coach 15 years everywhere from the Nets to the Lakers. We asked him, we asked Byron today, hey, what are Bronny James' prospects for playing in the NBA this season? Here's Byron Scott.
I'm not surprised, not shocked. I think, you know, Bronny and obviously his dad and Clutch Sports, you know, they've probably, you know, thinking about this for a while. You know what, to be honest with you, I think one more year of college wouldn't hurt him. I think, you know, he has some great skills. There's no doubt about that. He knows how to play the game. He's got a great basketball IQ. But playing one more year and being almost kind of featured, I think would really, really solidify him in the next NBA draft. But again, he's got the pedigree. You know, my biggest thing when I heard about that this morning, I said, well, he's going to be taking a pay cut and he go to the NBA. You know, all the NIL money he's getting and all other stuff he's been getting. You know, you go to the NBA, you're going to take a pay cut. But, you know, all joking aside, I think one more year really would benefit Bronny a lot more.
Yeah, Mojo, before we move on, the one thing I would definitely say is this was not something that was done on a whim. LeBron James is a very thoughtful person. Rich Paul is one of the best NBA agents out there, period. They've got access to every great basketball mind that's out there. This was not done by accident, and it was not done without a real thinking of this through. So I promise you that, even if it doesn't make sense to a lot of people today looking at Bronny's numbers from last season, there is a reason that they have made this move. It's going to be very interesting to see. Again, I promise you, when the draft rolls around, Bronny James will not be in it, but it doesn't mean that there's no purpose for this decision. Coming up next on TMZ Sports, controversy surrounding Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball as a Los Angeles Dodger. Did the organization strong arm a fan so they could get the ball and give it to the superstar player? That's what the fans claiming. We'll break down the entire situation for you next on TMZ Sports.
Said, hey, you just be you. He hits one in the air down the line towards the right field corner that blows just inside the pole. Just barely stays fair. Shohei Ohtani has homered in back-to-back games.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Mojo, of course, that was Shohei Ohtani hitting his second home run of the season, his second home run as a Los Angeles Dodgers star. It's not the second one, Mojo, that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about his very first home run as a Dodger. There it was. It was Wednesday night, seventh inning. Shohei hits a bomb, a 430-foot blast, Mojo. And the ball is caught by a longtime Dodgers fan named Amber Roman. Mojo, it's what happened after Amber caught the ball that has caused some controversy here. So she claims, Mojo, that shortly after catching the ball, she was separated from her husband, Roman. And she says she was with Dodgers officials who basically put on the full court pressure. They put a lot of pressure on her, Mojo, in an attempt to get the ball back. Now, they wanted the ball so they could give it to Shohei Ohtani. In exchange, they gave her a couple of pieces of signed memorabilia. Now, very cool, right? Signed stuff is great. But the reality is this is a ball that experts, as a matter of fact, at Heritage Auctions, one of the biggest auction sites out there, have said could be worth in the neighborhood of $100,000. Meanwhile, Mojo, the signed memorabilia worth something like $4,000. And now Ambar and her husband Roman, they're pretty upset. They feel like they had a fast one pulled on them here, and obviously they want this made right.
You know, this is such an interesting thing now, going to a baseball game, because you can buy a ticket with this being essentially your retirement fund. This right. is an investment for your future. If you come away with one of these balls, I mean, that might be all you need to, you know, file yep. your paperwork and call it a day professionally. Right. And it really is an interesting thing, because the fans, they are increasingly becoming more aware of what's at stake yep. here when they catch one of these balls, which makes it that much harder on the players that want to keep pieces right. of their special moments, you know, trademarks for their career, things that are going to define them, and things that would look really good in the old trophy room for their kids, for their grandkids, for years to come. If I'm a player, right, I'm probably going to grease some of these security guys to make sure I get my property back, right? I want my stuff. I don't want some random fan to have it who's just going to hold me hostage for it. We don't want that. But at the same time, I mean, you buy a ticket to a game, this is the way it goes, right? So it is a very, very interesting situation. One that almost never has two sets of winners, because, yeah, signed couple bats, couple balls, $4,000. It's like, give me a break when we're talking about a six-figure payout. It's certainly not enough. So, I mean, look, if the team's going to get it from her, you got to find better ways to compensate these fans for it. I don't know if it's special meet and greets, plane tickets to, you know, to go see away games too. I don't know. You got to talk to the fan and see what matters to them. But, you know, strong arming them, it is a tough situation. It's an uncomfortable situation. At the end of the day, she did give the ball back, so that's a huge part of this. She didn't have to, but
right. But Mojo, I honestly think she regrets it. And I think if she could go back, that she would not give it back to them. I go back to what happened last year. Aaron Judge has this record-setting season with the Yankees. You know, obviously all the home runs that he had, a very prolific season. The guy who caught the record home run ball that Aaron Judge hit, the Yankees put on the full court press too, and he said no, and he ended up selling it for a lot of money. I hear what you're saying. It's more her ball than it is Shohei Ohtani's ball. When it goes into the stands, it's not his anymore. The Dodgers paid him $700 million. If they want the ball back, then open up the checkbook, Dodgers, and pay the fan what it's worth. $4,000, some crap signed autograph on a hat. I think it's nonsense. The Dodgers are one of the premier organizations in all of Major League Baseball. They should act like it.
Babcock, we're going to start seeing this in contract negotiations in the future.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
And then there were 24. American Idol announced their top 24 this week, and you may recognize one of these guys. One of our guys and former NFL wide receiver, Blake Prohl, is among the two dozen contestants. Not only did Blake play in the NFL, but his brother Austin did too, and their dad Ricky played 17 seasons in the league and won two Super Bowls. Talk about an athletic family. Now the proud dad gets to watch his son compete in a very different way, a whole nother element, as he tells our guy Lucas Whitman.
This season of American Idol is super exciting, especially for your family. Just kind of walk me through what it's been like for you guys to watch Blake do his thing out there.
It's been amazing. It really has. Just from, you know, where this came from 3 years ago when I was training him in L.A., combine training, getting him ready for his pro day, to fast forward 3 years, stepping away from football. And, you know, it's just been amazing because none of us can sing. I can't sing. My wife can't sing. My parents, her parents. It's a gift, man. And it's exciting to see his passion. We're kind of jaw open, man. It's been an amazing experience to see his process and his journey the last several months.
If you can like walk me through the first time you realized, like, you know, my son is very talented, not only on the football field, but he can sing too. Like what was that realization like?
Well, it was 3 years ago. Someone sent me an audio of a song, someone singing. And so I'm listening to the song, and as I'm listening, I start to recognize it's Blake's voice. And it was like, it put a frog in my throat. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And he had never told us, like, he, you know, and the story, American Idol, is all real. I mean, Nana Joan, my mother-in-law, is the one that inspired him. Like, Blake, you know, you got a good voice. You should pursue that. And so for us, I think we were just dumbstruck, like, just like, where did this come from? So that's what, for me, it was an emotional moment because I couldn't believe it. And then when we heard him in person and we started hearing him more and more, and how talented he was and how good he sounded, just blew me away that in that short period of time, you know, it put it in perspective. It's kind of like, you know, being a professional athlete, you don't just show up and all of a sudden you run routes and catch touchdowns, you know, and not to say that he's at the level some of these other guys and young women are at on American Idol, but for him to be where he is, has been nothing short of amazing.
What was it like for you, especially having Blake get to the professional level and then, you know, injuries happen, he comes back and then all of a sudden he's like, you know what, this isn't for me anymore. What was that conversation like with you? And, you know, what was your initial reaction?
It was hard, but it wasn't, you know, you just, because I know he's good enough to play in the National Football League. He showed that. And I knew he had that ability. I trained him his whole life. So when the injury happened, you know, it was the second time he did it in college. So, you know, it's the worst feeling in the world. It's every parent's nightmare getting that phone call of, you know, hey, Blake just got carted off and it doesn't look good. And then when he got cut, he had always said, like, I'm not going to keep pursuing. If a team doesn't want me or I'm not getting, you know, calls, you know, to sign, I'm not going to keep doing this. You know, I'm starting to really have a passion for music. I think I'm good at it. I love doing it. I love the grind of writing songs and then putting the music to the songs. So for me, it was, you know, all I've ever wanted my kids to do is I've always said, chase your dreams, but make sure you love doing what you do and you're passionate about it. And he's passionate about music. And so for me, it was an easy transition to support him, love him, because that's something that he showed he really loves to do. Kelly, my wife and I are just so proud of Blake. And you know, I think it took a lot for him to walk away from a game that he loved, for a game that his dad played, his brother played, and to have the courage to kind of say, hey, Dad, I'm going to pursue music. I thought that said a lot of who he is as a person, and I respected that, and I love him for that.
Ricky, thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking the time.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Try telling the teams from last night's NIT final that it's just a consolation prize. Seton Hall brings home the top prize, but it was a simple gesture to one of their opponents that has everyone talking. The highlights and all of the celebration when TMZ Sports rolls off. Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Mojo, I was not going to do this show without congratulating my champion, Seton Hall Pirates, who, despite getting snubbed by that awful NCAA tournament committee, Mojo, They went out there. They said yes to that NIT bid, and they went on to win every game, Mojo, including an absolute thriller last night. This was about the longest 8 seconds of my life. The Pirates were down 7 with only a couple of minutes left. They stormed back, and they end up beating Indiana State, another team, by the way, who was snubbed and belonged in the tournament. 79-77 NIT champions for the first time since literally the 1950s, Mojo. Now, after the game, there was a really awesome moment, a special moment, I thought, and this is what makes sports great in my mind. Shaheen Holloway is the Seton Hall coach, was a former Seton Hall great back in the day, 25 or so years ago, Mojo. Well, Robbie Avila is, I love this guy, the greatest nicknames, Milk Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Steph Blurry, there he is. He's a great player. He's got a great look, an even better look. He was so upset after the game. If you think the NIT doesn't mean anything to these players, it does. He's bent over at half court, Mojo, head down. Shaheen Holloway comes up to him and quite literally lifts his head up and says, hey, you've got a lot to be proud of. And, you know, on opposite sides of things last night, but at the end of the day, I thought that was a really awesome moment, Mojo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this means the world. I mean, just everyone knows how much these games mean to a player. And when you have the opposing coach, yeah, it might even mean more than your own coach, because your own coach is expected to do that stuff. But when you have the opposing coach come up and show respect and show love like that, they don't do that for anybody. That just tells you how special of a player you are, how much of a game changer you are, and, you know, maybe even how much they had a game plan for you. Yeah. So this was a really cool moment. You love to see. Congrats to both teams.
Look, nonetheless, it's nice to go out there and win no matter what's on the line. And it's obviously these teams hope it's something that they can build on now heading into next season. So again, congratulations to Seton Hall. We got to go, Mojo. Big, big sports weekend. Obviously, lots of college basketball, speaking of, to be played. We got a bunch for you on Monday. Big stories. Big show. Great show. See you then.
Absolutely. After the big basketball weekend, it'll make four. The Best Show since today.